Blog Talk Radio.
Football, and you know, we have such a, you know, you guys have not, I mean, you know, first of all, it's me, Commissioner T, live on the Madden Voice. Good to be back. Off season NFL show, human interest stories, sports related, maybe a little bit outside of sports. You know, I decided to try something a little different, and it's really to give back. And I hate the term give back, I couldn't find a better term, but it's really just for me to. For all of you who are so loyal, and you know, I still get the numbers of listeners sent to me weekly, and we still have a very strong following. We haven't done a show in a month, and it's still a very strong following of people listening to our archives. And all I can say is thank you for the love, thank you for the support, and it's because of the support we get that had me say, let me try something a little different. Let me see if we can continue to entertain and educate and talk about some things going on in the NFL, talk about some things going on outside the NFL, and just do a little short show. I mean, I'll be here for half hour tops, just saying hello, letting you know that we're still here. Spoke to, well, I didn't really speak to him, but corresponded with Dr. Train, who was doing well out in California. So Dr. Train, hope you're well. I certainly have had correspondence with K-Star, who didn't do well in the Madden tournament, but I do want to take a minute and congratulate Problem, a friend of mine, someone that I've met numerous times, met his family at the Madden tournaments, a good young man, and, it was over $400,000 in cash and prizes, and he walked away with the grand prize of $140,000. I was going to try to get him to come on the show, but you know what? Go on, enjoy your money, brother. You know, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his family. And, that's a nice piece of change to walk away with. And, you know, just real quick, you know, we got our roots from the Madden community. And for those of you listening saying, how do you get $140,000 playing a video game? Do not underestimate the dedication and the time commitment it takes to become as good as these guys become at this game. It is literally a full-time job. And while $140,000 is a lot of money, you know, they earn every penny. And the reason that it's $140,000 is because companies like Virgin Gaming, you know, Richard Branson, they're behind it. And they've got deep pockets and plenty of advertising, plenty of support. We've seen Madden Nation, where our very own K-Star was on season 4 on ESPN, covered on ESPN. And so it is big business. It is a big, big entity. And, congratulations to Problem. And you know what? You know, K-Star didn't win at all. Congratulations. You know, he's still competing. We'll find out what his plans are with Madden, but at least we know that he is still going to be co-hosting the Madden Voice along with myself and Dr. Train. If you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525. 347-838-9525. The chat room is open. Twitter is on. You can go to Facebook and like us, throw comments on our Facebook page if you like. And you know what? If you want to friend me personally, I don't mind. You're not going to see a Commissioner T-Page, but you will see Terrence Floyd. That's me. Send me a friend request. I don't ever turn down friend requests. I mean, you know, as long as you know how to act. You understand what I'm saying? All right. First thing I want to talk about is actually a sports-related story, but not an NFL story. I was very intrigued. You know, for many of us, you know, children of the 70s, graduated high school in the 80s, we, you know, fans of Michael Jordan and watching the Bulls dynasty, as many people in my age group, you know, Michael Jordan was everything, and watching the Bulls was just a treat. And, you know, so, you know, when I heard that Dennis Rodman had went to North Korea with the Harlem Globetrotters and met their leader, Kim Jong-un, who is the son of the former leader, Kim Jong the II. You know, maybe you know, I don't know. It caught my attention. Let's put it that way. It caught my attention. I've always been a fan of Dennis Rodman. I've always been a fan of athletes that were flamboyant and flashy. I've always been a fan of people that said they were the best and then went out there and proved it. Floyd Mayweather Jr., you know, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan. You know, I've always been a fan of people that had the cojones, if you will, the testicular fortitude, if you will, to go out there and say that they were the best and then prove it. That's to put all that pressure on yourself and then to be able to do it, you know, if you've never competed, is just amazing. Dennis Rodman, with all his flamboyance, two things I will tell you that I've learned about Dennis Rodman. Maybe three. One is tremendous rebounder, which means in order to be 6'8", 6'7", and to rebound like he could, I mean, that's a work ethic. Incredible marketer, okay? And also, I think he's a lot smarter than people give him credit for, you know? But you think about the wedding dress and all the things he did to draw attention to himself, reality shows and all of that. I mean, you know, that's a smart dude. You know, and what does he do? Hooks up with the Harlem Globetrotters, and he goes over to North Korea. Now, you know, I'm not going to sit here and turn this into a political show and try to educate you on the you know, what's going on in North Korea, but it's ugly. It's ugly. And, you know, they are certainly not friends of the United States. We have really nothing to do with them. They have violated many human rights policies. They did a nuclear test a few weeks ago. So, you know, they're bad boys. All right, let's just call it like it is. But that said, Dennis Rodman, six-time champion, played for the Bulls, played for the Bad Boy Pistons, played for the Spurs, went over and met with this dictator. And I saw the interview. I saw an interview with George Stephanopoulos, who I believe was former press secretary, and now is a reporter for ABC. And, you know, he said that this guy is his friend, Kim Jong-un is his friend, and that he had a message for Obama. And Obama said, call him. He said for Obama to call him. You know, just call him. Let's talk. Now, I think Rodman's getting a bad rap. I mean, the State Department said he does not represent the United States. You know, people are saying that Rodman, you know, that he's a publicity stunt. And, you know, why would Rodman turn his back on his country and go befriend this guy? You know, just a lot of negativity. But, you know, let's take another look at this. There are two things that transcend cultures. Okay. Actually, I'm sorry. There are three things that transcend cultures. Okay. One is religion. There's religion everywhere, no matter what culture, okay? But the other two, music and sports. You know, you've got, you know, musicians. You know, you think about the Michael Jacksons of the world, the Whitney Houstons of the world. There are athletes out there. There are, I'm sorry, musicians out there that are loved worldwide. They go anywhere in the world, and they're going to sell out. Anywhere in the world, Rolling Stones and the Beatles, and the list goes on and on, okay? And sports. Michael Jordan hasn't played in 10 years, and if you check the most recognizable athletes in the world, he's still top 10. I mean, he was number one for 5 years after he stopped playing. And then like Tiger Woods got in there, and it was between him and Tiger Woods. And you know, now you know Tiger's probably still up there. Michael's still there, but now you got LeBron James. You know, is now the heir apparent, if you will. Kobe's up there. You know. So my point in this is, why are they giving Dennis Rodman a hard time? I am a fan of President Obama's. I don't agree with everything he does, but I'm glad he's our president. But I got to tell you, I'm not happy with the reception that Mr. Rodman is getting for what he's done. I mean, I know I don't work for the State Department. I don't work for the CIA. You know, I don't work for any of these companies. I'm just I'm an average dude just like everybody else. But, you know, if the guy is saying give me a call, give him a call. I mean, why not use Dennis Rodman? And the fact that this is the first time that anybody from this country has been able to speak to this guy since he took office in 2011. Okay, we go through diplomats and ambassadors and secretary of states and all these dignitaries. And he's an everyday guy, you know, a famous basketball player, but he's nobody on a political level. And he can go and sit next to this guy and have champagne and hang out and come home. I don't understand. Instead of it having to be so adversarial, if the guy is saying call me, then pick up the phone and call him. Pick up the phone. I mean, I'm not saying you have to call him and you know, I don't really listen. People are dying every day over here and over there. There's too much anger and negativity in the world. Would it hurt to pick up the phone? Would it hurt if Obama said, okay, John Kerry, Secretary of State, I want you to set up a conference call between me and the prime minister or whatever he is, the president, you know, whatever his title is of North Korea. He's requesting I talk to him, then I'm going to talk to him. Now, hey, I'm not saying you got to sit there and kiss his butt, but I'm saying, hey, have a conversation. You know, why do we have to go through 80 levels of politics and bureaucracy and sanctions and potential wars and all of that? And this is a human being who's saying, give me a call. Let's talk. You know, you guys both love basketball. So let's talk about that. Hey, Dennis came over here. Yeah. Last I knew, Barack Obama's residence was in Chicago. So, I mean, wouldn't that be a nice icebreaker to get these two talking and then from there to see what is it that we can do, you know, to move forward and have peace between our countries? What can we do so that the things that we think you're doing over there to your people, you can stop? What is it you need? Let's have that conversation. I don't get why it's being laughed at. I think this should happen more. I think you should look at the top athletes, actors, right? Actresses, you know, singers. Now you got more cooking shows on TV than you know what to do with. So let's go get Bobby Flay. Let's go get Gordon Ramsay or somebody and have these guys talk to, you know, cook a meal for these guys or something. I mean, let's, you know, obviously the conventional stuff ain't working. Obviously the normal stuff isn't working. You know, obviously the things that, you know, all of the six-figure salaries, maybe seven figures, who knows, that these people and all the degrees and the studies and the research on how to make these relationships get better, obviously none of that's working. Because here we have a guy who's been out of the NBA for 10 years, if not longer, who's doing reality TV shows, piercings and tattoos. But because he's somebody's idol, because Kim Jong-un loved the Bulls and loved Dennis Rodman, he's able to get in, sit next to this guy and have a great conversation with him. I don't get it. If the purpose is improved relationships and we want to help those people of that country who may very well be mistreated as we speak, that may very well be the case, and you have a direct line to the president of that country, Why not make that call and see what you can do? I don't get it. I would love to see more of this. I can't predict if it's going to happen, but I would love to see more of it. I would love to see more of let's get rid of the stiff Hillary Clintons and John Kerrys of the world, and let's replace them with people that can go in there and talk nothing about the issue and everything about their craft, and let's bring it down a notch and then see if that could lead to some conversations and communications. My opinion, and I stand by it. Okay, good job, Dennis. And I hope he gets the credit that he deserves. I really do. But you know, we can't have a Madden voice and not talk a little bit of NFL. I mean, it would be sacrilegious. It would go against everything that I represent. So we got to talk a little bit of NFL. I was intrigued by Lauren Silberman. And if you haven't heard the name, she's the first woman to ever try out to make the NFL. Now, something that I learned that I think makes a lot of sense, but I didn't know, is that the NFL conducts regional combines. And it's really just for people like you and I who may think we have the skills to play pro football. They want to make sure that if anybody can do this game or be a part of this game, that they have an opportunity to make a team. And so they hold these regional combines. And so theoretically, you know, the Giants should have one. I'm in Connecticut. The Patriots should have one. And theoretically, if, and obviously I'm well past those days, but, you know, if I'm 24, 25 years old and I've been a wrestler or a basketball player or something, and, you know, my basketball career is over and I'm 6'2" and 260 pounds and can jump to the moon, heck, you know, I might go to one of these regional combines and try to get on a team. You know, even though I may have never played football or paid very little, right? So that said, that's what this young lady did. You know, claimed that she could kick a 60-yard field goal, competed at one of those fan-friendly events at the Super Bowl and kicked a 40-yard field goal, and it was perfect. And so they invited her. I guess the NFL changed the rules a couple of years ago and said, you know, probably not thinking they would be faced with it so quickly, but, you know, that women couldn't play professional football. My question, it's a rhetorical one, but think about it, is that okay? You know, my first thought of this was, why is the NFL being hypocritical? Why is Roger Goodell being hypocritical? Why is it that on one side of your mouth you say we're concerned about injuries and we're concerned about concussions, and on the other side of your mouth you would allow a woman to be a football player, pro football player? The speed and the size and the way these guys hit, you know? And I just know if there's a woman, I mean, place kicker is one thing, but I know if there's a woman running back or one of the skills position, guys are going to ease up because they're not going to want to hurt her, you know? So I don't know that I'm for it, but the more I looked into it, you know, I kind of said, okay, it's the sign of the times. It's where we at, you know? And we're going to see a woman make the NFL. And, you know, I think it'll be very interesting when that happens, but I think we're going to see it, and I think we're going to see it sooner than you think. So all in all, I'm supportive of it, but I'm still concerned. I'm supportive, but I'm still concerned. I wouldn't want to see. If you guys haven't seen her, just research a woman tries out for NFL, and you'll see her. She's actually kind of cute. Be honest with you, she's actually kind of cute. So what does that have to do with anything? Nothing. I'm just thinking if I played defensive end and back in my football days, and if she was like a running back or quarterback and I came in, I don't know. I don't know if I could hit her. You know, just not used to hitting a woman, you know? So I don't know. But you know what? Hey, you know, NFL's got to stay cutting edge and give it a try, you know? It's interesting because in the NFL, in the NBA, you have a whole league of women, but you don't have anybody playing in the NBA. They only play in the WNBA. But in football, I don't know. In football, such a violent sport, you would think that would be where they might have a minor league or something for women to play in. I don't know. Anywho, good luck, Lauren. Apparently, she had two kickoffs. She didn't make it. She had two kickoffs. One was for 19. Then she hurt her quad. She did another one and went 13 yards. So, you know, will she be back and get another shot? I'm sure she will. You know, and I wish her luck, you know. Let's see. Very interesting though. A woman in the NFL. 347-838-9525. 347-838-9525. You know, like I said, 30, 45 minute show saying hello to all our fans and just talking about some things that caught my eye. Just to reconnect with everybody. You know, it's March, got another snowstorm about to hit Connecticut. You know, it's all good. I tell you, when the weather gets warm, You know, at least before NFL gets serious, yeah, the shows are going to stay scattered because I like my outdoors. I love my motorcycle. Anyway, Vince Young has made the news again. He thinks that he can play football. He thinks that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I believe the quote. Let me see if I can find the quote. I really feel like I can do a much better job than a lot of most quarterbacks in the league. He sent Jeff Fisher an apology for how he acted, and he says that he was just immature, let me read the quote. I definitely want to apologize for the things that I did. This was Vince Young on the NFL Network explaining his apology letter to then-coach Jeff Fisher, who's not a coach of the St. Louis Rams. Letting him know about the frustrations, all the different things that were going on in my life all the time, and wanted him to know I really did appreciate him trying to make me become one of those types of leaders on the team and a successful quarterback. At the time, being immature and not paying attention and not listening and taking my frustrations on a lot of people wasn't the right thing to do. He thinks he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he chalks it up as just stress and, I don't know. Listen, I'm a firm believer that everyone deserves a second chance. Heck, sometimes you may even deserve a third chance. I'm a firm believer in that. But he didn't play well in Philly. You know, Vince Young went down and, Michael Vick went down and he brought Vince Young in and he just didn't play well. I'm sorry. You know, I'd like to see him get another chance, but I think he should understand that he's going to be a backup somewhere if he gets another chance. And if he, if he gets to play, if he gets someone gets hurt and he gets to play, then that's great. But I don't see him getting another starting job. And quite honestly, while I believe everyone deserves another chance, I don't know what he has shown us. You know, we can give him a starting job somewhere because we think he deserves a second chance. But what has he shown us to validate that he deserves a second chance? And that's my problem. He did not play well in Philly. I mean, he did some good things in Tennessee. He went to two Pro Bowls. But he got to Philly, and he didn't play well. So, I don't know. I hope he gets another chance, but I just don't know how much better he can be at this late stage in his career. But you know what? You know, Vince Young went to jail for a couple of years and came back and playing pretty well. So, who knows? Who knows? I tell you, Dallas needs a backup, and I'd consider Vince Young as Trey Aikman. No, Roger Staubach, no. Tony Romo. See, when you're away from the show and you're away from the game for a while, you know, you start to get a little loopy. But I had a long day today. Did you ever just have one of those days you just couldn't wait to get home? That was today. Let's talk about Roger Goodell. Is he a good commissioner? Is he not a good commissioner? I don't know. I've watched a lot of interviews this week with people talking about him. He was interviewed by ESPN, the magazine, and he was quoted as saying his greatest fear is a death on the field. And, I don't know. When I look at his tenure of 6-7 years, I look at things like the bounty gate with the Seahawks. I look at the fact that we had a player lockout as well as a referee strike. Mixed signals on instant replay, mixed signals on the, how to handle the concussion issue. Seems that he always goes strict or stern. But then I realized, you guys maybe don't understand, or maybe you do. Someone should have called me and told me. Roger Goodell works for the NFL owners. He doesn't work for the players' union. Doesn't work for the players. He works for and is hired by the owners. The owners have to approve it. Okay, not hired, but they have to approve it. He wanted to be NFL commissioner since he was a little boy. So I have to admire that, at a young age, he knew the job he wanted and just worked for it. So, when we talk about whether he's doing a good job, I think many of us would say not really. But when the owners talk about if he's doing a good job, You know, he's projecting $10 billion in revenue for 2013, which would be the highest ever. And his goal, if he's still commissioner by 2027, is to have the league at $25 billion in revenue. That's his goal. As long as he's working towards numbers like that, he ain't going anywhere. He will have a job, I can assure you. No matter how poorly his performance is, he'll have a job. I don't think he's done a tremendous job. But, you know, I also remember Tagliabue very clearly, and I remember Pete Rozelle. And I thought Pete Rozelle was phenomenal. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think? Shoot me a note. Let me know if you think that Roger Goodell was a good commissioner, is a good commissioner or not. 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, the Madden Voice, Human Interest Story, off-season. I don't know when we'll be back after this one. I wanted to give it a try and talk about a few things. I got a couple other things I want to talk about. But this will not be an every week kind of thing. It'll kind of be when I get inspired. Blade Runner. This is the South African athlete who killed his very beautiful girlfriend and then tried to say that he thought a burglar was breaking in. Watched a lot of the coverage on this. Yeah, he did it. And I'm never one to jump to conclusions early, but his excuse is preposterous. I don't understand. And, you know, and I tell you, you know, a lot of you know that over the last, I don't know, maybe four or five months, I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life, but I fight through it, I persevere, and I'm doing all right. But I say that to say, when you think that things can't get any worse, all you got to do is turn on TV and you'll find someone that's doing poorly. Here's a guy who, W amputee, and I watched him in the Olympics last year, and I ran the quarter mile. So the fact that this guy's running 44 second quarter miles on, you know, not real legs, is nothing short of sensational. Nothing short of sensational. So he's an inspiration to people all over the world. You know, he's got quite a bit of money, and not that long ago he met, you know, his perfect mate. She's a model. They were going to do a reality show together. I don't understand what happens. I don't. But I'm convinced he did it based on what I saw. And this, you know, in Connecticut, we had a grandmother. Something was wrong with her. She picked up her two grandkids from daycare, took them home, shot them both, and then killed herself. Okay? There's legislation about the type of gun you can own, the type of magazine that you can own. You know, or a clip, if you will, for the gun. There's all types of legislation around gun control out there. And as I said on the Madden Voice, where is the discussion on mental illness? I mean, I want you to think about it, everybody, and forgive me because it's a little bit off football, but just work with me. To think that it is okay or that you need to extinguish somebody's life, not hurt them, okay, not hurt them. Not fight them and beat them up or talk about their character and hurt their feelings. No, you want to end their life. You want them left there dead and you walk away and go home and have a sandwich. There is something wrong. Something's not adding up. Something's not right. That is not, I hate to say normal, but that's not what we're used to experiencing. It's unusual. And for someone to just ignore that and just keep focusing in on guns, you know, really? If I'm going to pay my taxes, well, I want someone out there to hear me say, I would rather pay, I just get frustrated. I would have no problem paying extra taxes if it meant funding these nonprofits that provide these services or these medical centers that could have people on staff. Let's find out how much it costs. Let's make sure we can get people help. Well, how many more tragedies is it going to take before we get people help? Look at this guy who I looked up to. I ran track. I love track and field. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I admire what this guy did. Now I feel stupid. You know, how many more murders are going to have to take place before we realize It's not guns. Like they say, the old cliche, guns don't kill people, people kill people. It's so true. It's so true. 347-838-9525. 347-838-9525. On the topic of guns and Sandy Hook, many of you know that I am here in Connecticut, about 45 minutes from Sandy Hook. And there's talk about schools having police officers stationed there, have an office, a desk, and do their paperwork, and that's their home base. And to have that, you know, as schools around the country. So NBC did a survey, and they found that 69% said that they liked the idea and 31% said no. I have one thing to say to that. Cue the Miz voice. Really? 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 I mean, what possible reason could you have to say no to that? Okay, so there's a cop running the halls and he's got a gun. Okay, I know him. You know, he's my buddy. I know him. It's a stranger we're worried about, not the friend. I don't get it. To me, it should be 100% and they should move forward with trying to implement something like that coast to coast, border to border. I don't get it. But I guess I don't have to get it. But it makes sense to me. Paul Bearer, Undertaker's manager, passed away yesterday. R.I.P. William Moody. If you follow wrestling, this guy was a fixture on and off, you know, and he was one of my favorite non-wrestling characters, kind of in the whole Brother Love genre. I used to love Brother Love, too. Brother Love is no longer Brother Love. Bruce Pritchard is with TNA. So if you ever see him doing gut check, you look at him like, wow, that looked like Brother Love. That is Brother Love. But anyway, Paul Bearer passed, 58 years old, so R.I.P. Paul Bearer. You were a great character, and you tribute to the wrestling business. Would not surprise me if the WWE didn't immediately induct him into this year's Hall of Fame posthumous? Is that what they call it? You do something for someone after they die? I'd be all for it. Free agents. Let's take a quick minute before we get out of here, talk about free agents. Randy Moss is a free agent. Charles Woodson is a free agent. You know, Joe Flacco got the richest contract in history. He got 6 years, $120 million, $52 guaranteed, $29 million signing bonus, and he'll make $62 million over the first 3 years. That's incredible. He's not that good, but he won a Super Bowl. That's what you get. You get paid. You get paid when you win a Super Bowl. Let's see. Dennis Dixon is now an Eagle. No surprise there. Steelers claimed John Parker Wilson off waivers. Tavares Jackson signed with Buffalo for 1 year, $4.5 million. Stephen McGee, former Dallas Cowboy, is now with the Texans. 2 years, $1.36 million. David Garrard is working out with the Jets, and you know, we'll see where that goes. Matt Moore looking at Cleveland, another quarterback. David Carr, backup for the Giants, and Eli Manning's going to test the market. And Charlie Batch with the Steelers looks like he's looking to re-sign, you know, somewhere around a veteran's minimum. And that would be a good move. Let's look at running backs. Michael Turner released by the Falcons. Can anyone say that they're surprised at that? I'm not. Felix Jones with the Cowboys, unlikely to return. Don't get me started. Reggie Bush with the Dolphins, unlikely to return. Ahmad Bradshaw was released by the Giants February 2nd. I didn't know, so I don't know if he's been picked up by anybody else, but good running back. Go get him. Sean Green, unlikely to re-sign and with the Jets. And so Atlanta, Denver are possibilities. Steven Jackson with the Rams will void his option. And he's going to become a free agent. Rumors having him going to Atlanta, who just got rid of Michael Turner, so be interesting. Yeah, that's about it for running backs. Let's look at wide receivers real quick. Yeah, I've got an app for that. let's see. Kevin Ogletree will not be back with Dallas. Yeah, that'll be fine. Dwayne Bowe, 5 years, $56 million, 26 guaranteed, 15 signing bonus with KC. Well, they did just bring in, KC just bring in, what's his name? Backed up Brady. Oh. Is it Castle? No, it's not Castle. What's the guy's name? Oh my God, I can't take it. Oh my God, it'll come to me. Anyway, let's look at wide receivers. Sorry guys, I'm a little out of practice. I haven't done a show in a while. All right, let's see. Yeah, West Welker, tepid interest around the league. The Patriots are looking at a 3-year extension at $9 million per year, if he's interested. So, I don't know. Let's check safeties real quick. Why? Well, because I can. Okay. Can't seem to get safeties loaded up here. I'm using my app to just read a few things that's going on. I know that Woodson was released. I'm very surprised at that, but it was probably financial. Released by the Packers. And, gosh, any team should want to get him. Let's see. Nothing really of major interest. Let's see. Rasheen Mathis with Jacksonville, and it reported did not expect to offer him another contract. Tracy Porter is unlikely to re-sign in Denver. Pac-Man Jones looks like he'll re-sign in Cincinnati. Yeah, and that's about it. It's hard to keep up. There's a lot. I mean, you really should, watch some of the shows, go on the internet to get a full-blown report on NFL free agency. That's really all I got for tonight. I wanted to talk about a few things, give a quick update on where we stood. I apologize. For some reason, I just got really tired tonight. Yeah, you ever had that? But, I was going to do the show Tuesday night, something came up. I was going to do the show last night, and I wasn't feeling good. And I wanted to come on and just give you guys a little taste of a little off-season football news, a little off-season human interest stories. I'll be back in a week or two. We'll do another show. We'll see what's going on. Maybe when we find out more about Blade Runner or, Vince Young, certainly we're going to do a draft show probably after the draft and just talk about maybe the top 10 or, look at some teams and see how the draft impacted. So I want to thank everybody for all your loyalty. You guys are great, and we will continue to be here, the Madden Boys. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. Continue to, tell a friend to check out the Madden Voice. We are, we've got some changes coming up for the next season, and we promise that the show is just going to continue to grow and get better. So thank you very much. Take care. Enjoy your weekend. Stay out of snow if you've been snowed in. And remember, on the Madden Voice, ultimately, all feuds will get settled on the field.